Well, hey there, Jonathan Doyle with you for the weekly podcast once again. Really good to have the pleasure of your time. I was convicted the other day that it's not really a weekly podcast at all, is it? I mean, really looking back, it's kind of the not really weekly podcast at all, but I do it when I can, and I try and wait till I've got something really good to share. And I've been traveling a great deal, and there's some great things I want to share with you on this podcast. You know, the sad thing is that I want you to try and imagine for a moment the greatest possible podcast ever recorded in history. I don't know if you remember that song from about, you know, 5 or 10 years ago, you know, the greatest song in the world. Because I recorded the greatest podcast in human history, I think. And then I took it into the editing suite and it had actually only recorded 4 minutes. So it's about a 26-minute podcast, but it only recorded four. It's the weirdest experience. You stand there in front of the computer and it's all gone. And you think these terrible thoughts, and then you think, no, hang on, what do I teach people about resilience and dealing with difficult issues and setbacks? I hate when you have to live the things you actually teach. So anyway, I always trust that if that happens, there's a reason it happened, and there was either something I said that was not going to be helpful or something that I didn't say. So in this podcast, hopefully we're going to cover what, you know, I did in the last one and some extra gold. So let's begin, because you know I'm always one for, or what do we call it, all killer, no filler. You know, we don't want to, I hate when you listen to a podcast and the start of it is just full of fluff. So the only housekeeping stuff from me is to say, please leave a comment on iTunes. If you love the podcast and it helps you, please go across to iTunes. Just search for the weekly podcast, search for Jonathan Doyle, add a comment in there, give it a review, because it really helps to lift the profile of the podcast and get it out to other people. If you're not following me on social media, please come across to either my Instagram account at jonathan_doyle.co. Find me on Facebook at www.fbjonathan.com. You can find me on Twitter at Jonathan Doyle Co. So they're the social feeds. Hope you can come across. Let's rip into this podcast. So I've been traveling a lot. I've been in the US twice in the last sort of 4 weeks. I took the family over to California, did Disneyland, and I had a big speech, a big keynote in Los Angeles, which was awesome. Had 250 leaders there. Came home, got the kids back into school, and then I turned around on my own and flew to Dallas, and then I went to Orlando, and then Palm Beach in Florida. Got to speak there to 450 fantastic leaders, which was just such a privilege. And one of the things I want to share is that, you know, I look at my life at the moment and I'm incredibly blessed, and I get to do these amazing things and have these experiences. And I really want to sort of share with you that you've got to get out of the mindset that some people are just, you know, somehow genetically different. I mean, we all are, I get that part, but, you know, just totally different from you, and that life just kind of just, you know, pixie fairy dust just dropped down on my head and I, you know, just happened to have everything figured out to have the kind of life that I'm currently enjoying. Not true. Somebody emailed me the other day and said that they really appreciated the vulnerability in the podcast, which was something I didn't do probably for the first couple of years. But increasingly, I've learned that being honest about my own journey and background really helps other people. So, you know, yes, I got to speak to all these people and do this travel, but, you know, my life has come from, you know, huge challenges. And, you know, for many years, I struggled, you know, hugely with depression and anxiety. And I know that affects so many of us. So I want to be somebody that says to you, no matter what you're dealing with, mental health challenges, relationship challenges, financial challenges, you can overcome these things and really get onto a life of contribution and joy and purpose. I'm going to talk about purpose in a minute, because it's such a big thing that I'm really teaching on purpose a lot at the moment. There's a strong belief in my heart that we all are really here to do one kind of major thing. I don't want that to sound restrictive. I don't want that to sound like, well, if you don't find your one thing, your life will be miserable. But in general, there's this one thing that we're really here to do. So I want to remember to point out some markers to that later, because I sort of meet so many people who really hate what they do. And they have a story, right? And the story is, well, I have to do this. It's like there's this rule that somehow they have to be unhappy and miserable doing things they hate. You know, and some people are doing things they hate, but they're making money out of it, so they're going, well, it must be the right thing. And then, of course, you've got that favorite quote of mine, which is, there's no point climbing the ladder of success if it's up against the wrong wall. So purpose matters. You know, what are the key indicators of purpose? It's usually something you've always done well and has always brought you joy. So, you know, my purpose in life is to liberate people's potential. It's the reason I do the weekly podcast, because I love seeing people grow and flourish and break through their problems. It's in my nature to do that. You know, when I was teaching and I was coaching and for years, going back decades, I've always loved to see, encourage and motivate people. So the fingerprints of your purpose will always have been there. And I discovered something recently. I was talking to a great friend about, you know, making decisions around my purpose. And as I talked about my purpose, I noticed that I felt quite emotional. Now, I'm kind of a guy's guy. I'm a bloke's bloke. I sort of, you know, I'm not a particularly emotional person at times. You hear that the right way. It's not like I'm just, you know, sitting in a coma in the corner. But, you know, I found myself quite teary, quite moved as I talked about how much joy I get from serving and helping people liberate their own potential. So I suddenly thought, that's another marker. You know, and you don't cry and, you know, get emotional every single day. But often when you really are operating in your purpose and people are recognizing it, there's often can be very strong positive emotions there. So keep an eye out for those. So, and then people are like, well, you know, how do I change everything and live in my purpose? And for me, I've given a metaphor recently of, you know, the fastest person in the world is Usain Bolt. Now, he's the fastest guy in human history, and probably there won't be anybody beating him for a very long time. And I'm like, you know, we look at Usain Bolt and we see this 100 meters and we're like, wow, this guy's amazing. And we forget that there was a time when Usain Bolt couldn't even walk. You know, when he was a baby, he crawled. And then, you know, he learned to walk, and then he learned to shuffle, and then he learned to, you know, run as a kid, and then he got older and he trained. And my point is that, you know, we see him in his purpose, you know, in his athletic gifting, but we forget that there was a journey to that point. So my metaphor for you there is, when you're moving into purpose, just baby steps, just begin to look for opportunities to live in it more deeply. And then, you know, slowly it'll take shape. So, you know, in the next few weeks, I'm speaking in three different cities in this country. And yeah, I feel I'm really going to be in purpose, and I can't wait to get on stage and really help liberate people's potential. But it took a long time to get there just by being faithful to the little steps in front of you, okay? Couple of things I want to do now. I want to share a really cool story with you that was really powerful for me, and I think there's going to be a good message in it for you. So just last week, I was flying back from Dallas to Sydney, and it's the longest flight in the world. It's 16 and a half hours. And I'm kind of lucky, I get to fly business, so it's a little more comfortable. And I couldn't sleep. And there's a little, on the A380, there's actually a lounge. I don't know if you know that, but there's a business lounge on the plane. So you can get out of your seat and go and sit in this lounge area. And I went and did that. And I sat there for 10 hours and I read a really cool book. And I want you to have a think about getting this book. It's called Presence by Amy Cuddy. I'll try and put a link here under the podcast. Amy spells her surname C-U-D-D-Y. It's a really cool book. So anyway, I'm reading this book, powering through, killing time. And eventually I start talking to the great staff from Qantas. So shout out to all the staff from Qantas. And I met some great people. And I met the cabin services manager who looks after the plane. And we talked for an hour and a half. And I met other staff. And they brought me 6 cups of coffee. I'm not advocating being unhealthy, but I wanted to concentrate and read. And they were really good. And the service was great. And they were really good people. And I really appreciated their service. And then I had this thought. I think we were flying over the top of Noumea at the time, 40,000 feet in the air. And I thought, you know, I really appreciate these guys. And I'd love to kind of, you know, sort of recognize their service and what a good job they're doing. And then I thought, well, why don't I ask for a photo? And I'll get a photo and I'll tag it with Qantas and I'll share it on social media and it'll, you know, give them some profile and celebrate what they're doing. And the minute I thought about doing this photograph, something happened. I immediately had this voice, and this voice went, excuse the language, but this voice went, you're a dick. You're a dick. If you ask for a photo, they're going to think you're, you know, that you're precious and you're a rock star and you want a photo for yourself and you're a narcissist and all this stuff sparks up. Now, first principle, whenever a voice of accusation sparks up in your head, it's not good. It's not the life force. Now, whatever your spiritual perspective is, that is not God. That is not the divine. That is the opposite of that. The voice of, you know, the opposite of good and the opposite of God and the opposite of you know, of your higher self will always be a voice of condemnation. Let's talk about that for a second. I mean, do you experience that a lot? Do you often experience a voice of condemnation, like a voice that's like, oh, if you do that, you're stupid. You'll never be good enough. You'll never do this. Don't do that. People think this. And whenever, trust me on this, if you get nothing else out of this podcast, whenever you hear a voice of accusation, and it's a very specific accusing voice, that is the enemy of your growth. That is the enemy of your higher self and potential and purpose, right? And it's been there since you were little, and it'll be there for the rest of your life, but you've got to get really good at hearing it and ignoring it and challenging it. Because the voice of your higher self, and I use this different language, right? Because I know that you're all in a different place spiritually, like a very diverse audience. So whether you conceptualize that as God or your higher self or the universe, whatever it is, the positive self will always speak in encouragement and excitement and motivation. Often I'll get really positive ideas. I don't do every one of them. That'd be frivolous, but, you know, it's an encouraging voice. So this voice on the plane is going, you know, they're going to laugh at you. They're going to think you're stupid. They're really busy. Don't interrupt them. So I managed to push through. And again, I was kind of thinking of you because I was like, man, I can't teach these principles if I don't do it. So eventually I waited till they'd finished the meal service, and I walked up and I went to one of the guys, Mick, who I'd been talking to, one of the Qantas staff. Shout out to Mick if you're listening. And I said, would you mind if I did a photo with you guys? And he was stoked. And he not only did he want to do a photo, he got a whole bunch of the other Qantas staff to come across, and we got a photo with four of us or five of us, and it was, everybody was really pumped. They were kind of chuffed that somebody wanted to do a photo with them. And then as soon as I landed, I tagged it on Qantas, and then later in the day, Qantas replied and promoted it, and then, you know, Mick, who I'd been talking to, reached out on Facebook, and then so did one of the other cabin staff on Twitter, and Qantas sort of, you know, took the photo and shared it on their internal network, and all of a sudden, several key things had happened. Number one was these people had been, you know, not rewarded is the wrong word. These people have been recognized for their hard work, which was what I wanted to have happen because I love seeing people, you know, celebrated and appreciated and recognized. And then one of the guys reached out to me on Facebook, one of the staff, one of the Qantas staff, and we started corresponding, and I sent them a couple of copies of my book. So we've got relationship and connection happening now. And my message for you is this: on the other side of what you're afraid of doing will always be cool stuff. I'd love to give it a really technical term, but let's just call it cool stuff. Whenever you're faced with a fear or of embarrassment or rejection or what if, or if I do this, on the other side of pushing through, cool stuff is always there. I didn't make the rules of the universe, but it just seems to be that the universe, God, rewards you the minute you crash through that stuff. Now, here's a disclaimer and what I love to call a distinction. Don't do dangerous, stupid, or foolish stuff that makes other people uncomfortable or harms you in any way, okay? Because sometimes people go, oh, I'm afraid of jumping off that 10-meter diving tower, and I've listened to Jonathan, I'm going to go jump off a diving tower, and I broke my back, and now I can't walk for a month. No, I'm not saying that stuff. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's those silly, negative, accusing voices that stop you from doing something that you're pretty sure is the right thing to do. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. So let me ask you a question. What do you think of something in your life now where you're afraid of acting or choosing or doing? What are you afraid of doing at the moment? Think about it now. Okay, something should have come up for you. Now, I'm not giving you direct advice, but I think that probably on the other side of what just came up will be cool stuff. Friends, I just want to tell you, I've learned this so much in the last few years. So many times I've just had to, I guess it's courage. And if you're freaking out and you're going, well, I just can't do it, I can't do it. How do you get that courage? Well, I've got an answer for you. Aristotle was famously asked, how does the courageous person become courageous? The ancient Greek philosophers were kind of, well, if we see a really courageous person, were they born that way? Was it nature? Was it nurture? How did they do it? And Aristotle cut through it all really well. He just said, you know, when they said, how does the courageous person become courageous? He just said, well, it's simple. They do courageous things. So Aristotle and the Greeks realized that you become what you constantly do. So the more that you crash through these fears, the more that you grow. Okay, it's practice. It's like Usain Bolt's little baby steps. It's like courage grows when you do courageous things. So I can promise you, and it's going to sound silly, and if the people in Qantas are listening to this, they're going, dude, like all this from a photograph? I'm like, kind of, yeah. That one little decision to do something and to move against that accusing voice, gave me a tiny bit of courage. And so the next time I want to do something, I'm going to have that background of a choice of I've already done it before. I've got a little bit more courage because I did it once. So that's how it grows. All right. There's a lot of stuff there. I want you to listen to that again, but let me summarize it for you really quickly. On the other side of doing what you're afraid of, or on the other side of moving against that accusing internal voice, will be cool stuff, okay? So wherever you're blocked at the moment, wherever you're afraid of acting, I know it's scary. I know it's scary. But on the other side is your growth and your cool stuff. And you're meant for that. You're not meant to live a narrow, small, accused, little, shrinking life. You live a big life. Because why don't you live a big life so you can make $1 million? No, that might happen. I want you to do it because you've got one life and you've got so much to give and contribute. And living a small life stops you from bringing your best for other people. Okay, the last thing I want to do is just talk quickly again about this huge issue that's so much on my heart and is coming up everywhere in my life. I want to talk to you about other people's opinions. I've done other podcasts on it, but I want you to get this again. I want you to start thinking about it more and more. We are incredibly conditioned to be oversensitive to other people's opinions. And other people's opinions can really screw us up. Our fear of other people's opinions, or what we think other people might be thinking, will constantly screw us up. So I've talked about it before, but very quickly, there's a reason it's so important to us. Trust me, when we came out of the caves, when we first began to go into tribal and family groupings, anthropologically, like in terms of our evolution, we always valued social cohesion and belonging, always. Because for most of human prehistory, if you got kicked out of your social group, you died. Okay, if your tribe or your family kicked you out of the cave, you died of either starvation or disease quickly, or the other tribes would kill you because they'd find you wandering on your own. So we evolved to highly value social cohesion and other people's approval. You know, our brain structures developed to read facial signs, particularly powerfully, of displeasure and unhappiness, so that we wanted to always be in social cohesion. Right, all this means is that our brains are still wired to value that very highly. And that's a good thing, right? We do want to belong and have connection and relationship with people. But in a complex modern world, I mean, when we're in the caves, we're only relating to kind of 5 or 10 or 20 people or a small group of people. But now we have these big networks, we meet strangers all the time, we might do public speaking, or we might write a book or do something, and we feel judged, and what about other people's opinions? Right, let's get you free of that. The mantra is this. You've got to learn this mantra. Your opinion of me is none of my business. Okay, there's lots of different ways of expressing it, but that's a good one. Your opinion of me is none of my business. So I want to promise you, I had to be trained to do this by a psychologist. I had to get a psychologist to teach me. They once said to me, Jonathan, get your little piggy nose out of other people's minds. And it was so funny at the time, the way they said it, and it was a great image that stuck in my head. It was like, yeah, like, you know, I'd be a speaker, or I'd be meeting people, and I'd be going, I wonder what they think. And I'm funny, right? I can have a problem for 10 years, and then if somebody explains it to me the right way, I can just get over it in like a minute. And the minute they shared that with me, I was like, oh yeah, how do I know what people are thinking? I can't know unless I specifically ask them. And has it been helping me to obsess about other people's opinions of me? And I went, no. And then my higher self was like, well, why don't you stop? And I'm like, yeah, I guess. And honestly, in the last few weeks, it's been a huge change. It's like, well, all I can do is bring my A game, right? All I can do is try and be a decent person, bring my best. And I can't control much more about that and what people think of me. You know, I hope I can serve people and they like what I do. But if they don't, well, hell, I'm not going to change. I just got to be authentic. I've got to just keep being who I'm called to be, living in the purpose. And what other people think of that is what other people think of it. And I've got to leave them with that. So I just want to say to yourself, how powerfully are other people's opinions affecting you? Because I want to promise you that if you get free of that, you won't become, I'm not saying become a narcissist and go, I don't care what anyone thinks. I mean, how much of that do we get presented with, right? I mean, look at so much, you know, of our music stars and our, you know, and our reality TV stars and just, you know, in our pop culture, we've got endless examples of celebrities that are like, well, screw you, I don't care what anybody thinks. No, that's narcissism. That's like sociopathy. Yeah, we should care about people, I guess, what they think of us, but only in the sense of, are we acting decently? You know, we should act decently and caringly towards other people, but that's not what I'm talking about. That's basic stuff, right? It's basically being human to live, to do that, and to live and treat people well. But it's this kind of, I don't screw everybody, I don't care what anybody thinks. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying just get free of other people's opinions of you. Now, the next thing about this is to remember also, this is a bit confronting, most of the time, people aren't thinking about you at all. You know, so much of the time, people are just thinking about their own stuff and they're not really thinking about you. So trust me, most of the time when you're going, I wonder what people think, I can tell you the truth, they're probably not thinking about you at all. I hope that's not too upsetting for you or confronting, but the fact is, you know, I've often talked about how much I ride. So often I'd be like riding in a big group and we'd be racing and be flat and all these great riders and, you know, really elite riders are there. I'm going, am I riding okay? What do they think of me? Do they think I'm a good rider? And I just went, who cares, man? Like, seriously, they're not thinking about me at all. Like, Jonathan, ride the damn bike, okay? Like, forget about it. And I just learned that, you know, that people aren't thinking about us most of the time. So let's just get on with our stuff, right? Let's just get on with bringing our stuff and being authentic and being who you are and getting on your purpose and forget what other people might be doing, thinking, saying, or acting, okay? So, summary, the Qantas photo on the other side of what you're afraid of, on the other side of the accusing voice is growth, purpose, potential, and cool stuff. And remember the mantras on people's opinions. Your opinion of me is none of my business. I want you to learn that. Write it down, okay? Your opinion of me is none of my business. Take that into your relationships, your work. Work on you. Don't work on other people. You don't have control over their brains or their mind. You don't have that control. You have control over how you live. So forget how other people are thinking about you and focus on your stuff. Get free, okay? Get free. Other people's opinions are none of your business. All right. There's a lot of stuff in there. Listen to it a couple of times. Go onto iTunes, post a review for me. I'd love that. It's a big help. Please share the podcast with people. Grab the link, shoot it to some friends, post it on your social media feed. It's free. The principles, I hope, are really helpful for your life. So all I ask is that you share them with people. Come across to my Instagram feed at jonathan_doyle.co. There's links on the website. I'd love you to follow me there. I love posting stuff there several times a day. You can see where I'm traveling, what I'm doing, and lots of quotes that I love to share. Twitter, jonathan_doyle.co, one word. And Facebook, if you're a Facebook user, come across to www.fbjonathan.com, one word, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, www.fbjonathan.com, and it'll take you straight to the Facebook page. Post something on there. Get in touch. Send me a message. Last thing, I'm speaking a lot this year, so if you would like me to come to your business, to your church, to your school, and just shape a message for your people about growth, potential, purpose, leadership, any of the stuff that I cover, something to really inspire and encourage people, get in touch with me. I'm speaking at some really cool conferences this year. You know, I just got off the phone yesterday. I'm going to speak to several thousand people pretty soon. So if you'd love me to come and speak live, I'm happy to do that. I hope this podcast has been a blessing to you. You deserve to really get these principles. So it's been great to do it. I hope it's as good as the one that I recorded that didn't work. I hope this is better and I said something I was meant to say. But just get out there. Live the life you deserve. Don't settle for a small, constricted, fearful life where you're controlled by others' opinions or the fear of the past or the fear of the future. Get out there and break through these barriers so that you can really love and serve people. I'm Jonathan Doyle. This has been the Not Remotely Weekly podcast, but I do hope it's been useful. I'm going to speak with you again very soon.